Amen. Appreciate that, young man. Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house today, and we think of those who are not feeling well today, that you'd strengthen and encourage their hearts, those who are away from us working, those who are away not feeling well. Lord, I just pray that you'd help them. I pray the Holy Spirit would have his way in each of our hearts now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 10 and verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know what? His voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will what? Flee from him. For they know not the what? The voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be what? Saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The what cometh? Thief. The thief cometh not, but for to what? To steal and to what? To kill and to what? To destroy. I am come that they might have what? Life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I recently asked the men at the sheriff's camp, why do you think it is that many people will not get saved? And they gave the answer that I thought they would give. They said, we think many people will not get saved because they can't have fun. Because if you get saved, you know you shouldn't do certain things. And that's exactly what I thought they would say. Many people will not get saved because they don't want to turn away from certain things which they think are fun. And they think Christians can't have fun. Well, they should have been with us Friday night at the gym. Christians can have fun. They should have been with us Labor Day in the parade in Belding. We was having fun. We came back here and some had fun and some had aches and pains. Amen. Played football. The young fellows like to play tackle football. Well, you know, the glory of young men is their strength, right? But with old men, it's the gray head, you know? Amen. So, praise the Lord. So, these prisoners thought, this is exactly what I thought they would say. A lot of people will not get saved because they think they're going to lose their fun. Proverbs 1:10 says, My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't do it. We're going to talk about some things this morning that sinners will entice you to do these things, but consent not. Say no. Say no. Notice in Hebrews 11, Moses did. Now, sometimes people say, well, yeah, but I was raised this way and you were raised that way. That has nothing to do with it. The fact of the matter is each of us have to make a choice. Moses was raised in all of these worldly things, but he chose the opposite. Hebrews 11, verse 24. Hebrews 11, 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to what? To years, years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to what? Suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy what? Pleasures of sin for how long? Season. I want you to notice here that what turned Moses to God's people was not that it appeared they were having more fun. Moses was not attracted to the Israelites because it appeared like laying all those bricks, they were having more fun than the Egyptians who were sitting around being fanned with palm leaves and being waited on. What attracted Moses was not the fun on the other side. It was the truth on the other side. It's the truth that makes you free, not parties. So verse 25, he chose rather to suffer affliction. He knew. We had a fair ministry. There's this ministry that goes around America, and they have like missionaries. They hit the fairs, the county fairs, and we'll witness. And we've been given names from this organization before. And the last time we went and looked them up, not one person wanted to talk to us who supposedly made a decision for Christ. Not one. And we tried to look up some the other night, and one man wasn't home, but we need to follow up that. But you know, we didn't really get a great response so far anyway. Maybe so-so on one of them, but we didn't actually get to talk to any of these people who made the decisions. Just in some cases only got to talk to family. Some really, family really negative. Other, I guess one other family was happy, I guess. But we didn't get to talk to them individually. But you know, people come to fairs to have a good time. They come to party. But you know what? When it comes to accepting Christ, we've got to count the costs. It's not just a party becoming a Christian. So Moses counted the costs, and he says, I want that. I realize sin only lasts. The pleasure of it is only for a season. It's short-lived. And so I took the prisoners to this verse, John 10. Let's go back there. John 10, verse 10. I told him, I said, you know what? You come up with the answer that I thought you would. In John 10:10, I talked to my class about what's hard about memorizing scripture versus sometimes is just the reference, remembering where it is. Well, you can remember this one. It's John 10:10. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so I was determined to go over with these men some sins and show them how those sins do not bring life, but they indeed are, verse 10, they're thieves, they're murderers, they're killers, and they're destroyers. And so we proceed to do that. And let's look at one of them. It's Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Proverbs 20. One thing, the world just can't wait until they reach 21. Why? So they can legally drink. That's why. Can't wait. Let's consider alcohol. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a what? Mocker. How many of you would go to church if every time you come, they put you up front and laughed at you? Made a mockery of you. Who would come? You'd say, forget it, I'm not going to church. Well, then why go to the bar? Wine is a mocker. Why go to the bar and be made a fool out of? Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is what? Raising. I guess some people walk around with a chip on their shoulders. They're always looking for a fight. But who in their right mind would always go to a place where there's a good chance you're going to get in a fight? I don't know of anyone in their right mind who'd do that. But wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is what? Deceived thereby is not what? Wise. So whosoever is deceived by alcohol deceives people. It's the greatest deceiver of all time other than Satan himself. So people are deceived into thinking, you know what? I can't wait until I'm 21 where I can really have fun. where I can drink alcohol. The Bible says they're deceived. That's not really having fun. That's not real life, drinking alcohol. What it is, go back to John 10. You might want to put something in here in your Bible. We'll be coming back and forth here frequently, Lord willing. The Bible tells us in John 10:10 that it's the thief that comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. No true friend is going to invite you to a party where there's alcohol served. No true friend it would do that. Because a true friend is not going to mock you. A true friend doesn't want to take you somewhere where you're going to be made a fool out of. So-called friends may take you there, but not a true friend. It's not going to take you where there's liquor. Wine is a mocker. It's a mocker. Co-worker. A co-worker who is a true friend is not going to invite you to the bar after you get out of work. I used to work at a truss rafter factory, and probably not even a quarter of a mile away there was a bar. A lot of those guys would get paid and head straight to the bar. They used to go there for lunch hour until some of them come back with liquor on their breath. And, you know, using power equipment, saws and air nailers, it's not too bright to drink liquor and use things like that. And so the boss finally says, no one goes down there to eat anymore. No one goes to the bar. But co-workers, so many says, hey, you want to go down to the bar with me after work? All kinds of people do that. Well, they're not a true friend because wine is a mocker. It's a thief. It's a robber. It's a destroyer. They have attendance at bars, and they have attendance at church. In a little while, we'll ask those attendants to help us take up the offering. What do you call them? Ushers. Okay, it wasn't a trick question, though. Okay. We call them ushers. What do they call them at bars? Bouncers. Do you think there's any difference? We don't call our ushers bouncers. A bouncer, I guess, is to make people bounce when they're in troublemakers, bounce out of the bar. I looked up the word. Bouncer means one employed to restrain or eject disorderly persons. Okay? I don't think in all the years I've been here, I've ever seen the ushers have to eject someone forcefully from the service. That's a bouncer's job at a bar, to eject disorderly persons. An usher, according to the same dictionary, Merriam-Webster's 11th Cleed Dictionary, an usher is one who escorts persons to their seats. Escorts them to their seat, not out of it. Okay? Hopefully they don't have to do that. But so liquor causes people to be disorderly. Disorderly. Ushers are helpers. Bouncers are to deal with troublemakers. Troublemakers. Why? Because wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So I wonder what the bars downtown would do if we had Brother Gary make us up some signs and to put on the sidewalk that says, all fools enter here, and have an arrow into the bar. Well, I suppose we wouldn't get any points downtown, I suppose. But that would be the truth. That would be the truth. Notice it'll be in Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. You may say, why are you preaching a message like this? The Christians don't need this. Oh, yes, they do. There are a lot of Baptist churches nowadays that are grappling with the subject of whether they should drink or not. It used to be a given. No, it's not a given anymore. In fact, there's a so-called Christian institution of higher learning in Grand Rapids that used to be a law in the student handbook that students could not go to nightclubs. Well, one young lady, I guess, came back from Christmas vacation, and it got out that she had been in a nightclub on break. And so they disciplined her, and she set out to get that rule reversed. And after 2 or 3 years, she did it. She got it reversed. And of course, the faculty themselves now, I guess, can drink. That just shows you it is an issue. It is. Proverbs 23, 29. Who hath what? Lo, it doesn't say who hath wow, who hath fun. It says who hath woe, who hath what? Sorry, it doesn't say joy. You know, people may think it's a can of joy or a bottle of joy, but no, it's woe, it's sorrow in that bottle. Who hath what? Contentions. Have you ever seen a husband and wife make up after they've been drinking? I doubt it, but you'll probably see a lot of them fighting after they've been drinking. Who hath babbling? Have you ever heard someone that they could talk clear and precise after they've been drinking? No, but a lot of them sure babble. Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Well, a lot of people who drink. They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. So you might want to put something else here in this passage because Lord willing, we'll be back to that one again too. So it's not a true friend who will invite you to a beer party. It's not a true friend who will, a coworker who will invite you to the bar after work. A lot of guys will leave work too and stop at the grocery store or the party store, and they'll pick up a big carton of beer cans. I've seen them carry them out of the store. And I don't know how many cans are in that. It's a lot. You know, they used to talk about six packs. Well, they've long ago forgotten about six packs. I mean, I don't know how many's in there. 24? I don't know. 48? I don't know what's in it. I'm not sure. But when I was in driver's training, they taught us that a person who drank two beers would have too much alcohol in their bloodstream to drive legally. That's what they taught us. And I think about one of these big things they're carrying out of Myers. That represents a lot of intoxication, a lot of intoxication. And that's why many end up at the sheriff's camp to whom we minister. They're drinking. And they get caught eventually. They get caught. And eventually, some of them get their driver's license revoked. And that's the shape many of them are in that end up at the sheriff's camp. So I asked those men, does alcohol really give you more fun in life? And we looked at this, John 10:10. Let's go there again. John 10:10. The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I asked those men, I says, do you really think alcohol makes you have more fun in life? Or do you really think that alcohol has stolen from you? Do you really think that alcohol has been a thief in your life? And you know what they said? Those who spoke said, thief. No one said, it's made my life more fun. Not one of those men. Alcohol is a robber and a thief. Why? Because it steals your money. A lot of men will leave work right after they get paid. This was before the days of direct deposit. Maybe there is a good thing about direct deposit. We were just talking about direct deposit recently here. It's just one more chip, one more piece in the puzzle that will help the Antichrist. The more direct deposit and the less cash there is, the more control someone can have putting money in your account or taking it out, controlling it anyway. But those guys, many of them would get their checks and head straight for the bar. And oh, the bartender, you know, I guess is such a good guy. He'll cash their check for them. Isn't that sweet? Yeah, and how much of their check will they have when they leave there? No, they're not so sweet. They're thieves. They're robbers. They'll blow. When we were in Chattanooga, Brother Jim had afternoon Sunday school class that dealt with down and outers. And some of those guys, all they got was a disability check from the government. And they would drink that away. And what they didn't drink away would get stolen away in while they were drunk. And just a repeat. And then it's bumming off things from everyone else until they can get the next Social Security check. And then waste it all again. Absolute insanity. Alcohol robs a person. It's a thief. Alcohol steals money that should go for house payments and rent payments, but it goes for liquor. Jesus said, the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. How could anyone say, I don't want to get saved, because you can't do anything fun when you get saved. If I get saved, then I shouldn't drink liquor. Well, they should say, praise the Lord. Then I need to get saved. Kick this thief, this robber out of my life. Alcohol steals money from children that need shoes and clothes. Who was it? Mel Trotter, that in his drunkenness sold his dead child's shoes for another drink. Alcohol steals money that should be needed to go to the doctor or the dentist or need some glasses. They can't, because alcohol drank it all away. Instead of spending money on alcohol, it should go for needed repairs on the car or on the house. But it's not there, because the thief took that money. Alcohol. Jesus said, the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. None of those prisoners said alcohol has brought fun or joy to their lives. Those who would speak said it's a thief. Alcohol is a robber. It not only steals money, it steals time. Some of those men nodded when I talked about they were in there because of alcohol-related crimes. I says, alcohol has stolen your time. You're sitting in here in jail. Alcohol has robbed you of time. Time spent with your family. Time spent on your job. Time doing something productive. But it stole their time. It stole a part of their lives. Jesus said, the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill. Alcohol is a murderer. It took Brother Jim's dad's life. A man drinking ran a stop sign and hit Brother Jim's dad. And he died a few days later. And how many more could that be said about? Alcohol is a murder. It's a murder. I did some research on it for this message. Over 50% of fatalities on the road are alcohol related. Over 50%. Then that's with two or more cars. In one car, fatalities where only one car is involved, over 65% of those are alcohol related. Over 65%. It said every 20 minutes an American loses his or her life because of alcohol. Every 20 minutes. That means over 70 Americans. We're not talking about worldwide. We're talking about just in America. That means every week in America, over 70 people lose their lives. Or excuse me, every day, I'm sorry. Every 20 minutes, an American loses his life. Every day, over 70 Americans lose their lives every day because of alcohol accidents. And that means every week, over 500 Americans, think of it, every week, this is an average, every week, over 500 Americans lose their lives in alcohol-related accidents. I stopped and think, what would happen this week? What would happen this week if 500 of our soldiers lost their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan? Do you think there would be an uproar in America? Oh, yes. And what if it happened next week, too? Next week, over 500 soldiers lose their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. You know what? It wouldn't take too many weeks. And you know what Americans would do? Bring them home. That's it. That's it. Either do the job or bring them home. We're not going to take any more of this. Why isn't there the same outcry about alcohol? It's a killer. It's a killer. Every week, over 500 Americans die because of alcohol-related accidents. Why? Why is it allowed to go? And they mock us. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Most of the world can't wait till they turn 21. Can't wait. There was a clerk at the store the other day, and I think it was either Thursday or Friday. I was getting a few things, and he said to me something about the weekend. He said something like, "You looking forward to the weekend?" And I looked at him and I said, "Actually," I says, "I pastor the Liberty Baptist Church." And I says, "I enjoy every day. It's not just the weekend I look forward to. I enjoy serving the Lord every day. I really don't look forward to the weekend any more than I do any day. But for the world, they do. Because it's party time." If you don't believe that, just go with us visiting to the lakes. We come across one man who was a Christian just 2 weeks ago. And this the house before his, I think it was his brother Jerry, and he commented, "I guess you got to drink beer to live on a lake." Because it seems like so many of those houses we go to, there's beer cans and beer bottles around the lake. Party, party, party. Well, praise God, he wasn't that type. But Habakkuk 2:15 says, "Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him." These bartenders, when they stand before God, wouldn't want to be in their shoes. Not at all. Alcohol doesn't give life. It's a robber, it's a thief, it's a murderer. And then in verse 10, John 10:10, "The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy." How many marriages have been helped by alcohol? Zero. How many marriages have been destroyed by alcohol? We couldn't count the number. We couldn't count the number. Marriages that have been destroyed out on, they drink and they dance and they lust. We couldn't count the number. Notice back, if you have the mark there, Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. How many little children suffer? How many families suffer because of liquor? All kinds of them. All kinds of them. When I was a boy, my grandfather told me about one of the neighbors was a drunkard. And his wife, when this guy would come home and his drunkenness and meanness, his wife would come down to my grandpa and grandma's house for protection from this guy. And he'd come down there because he knew she would go down there. He would come there looking for his wife. Well, my grandpa wouldn't let him at her. And he was strong, and he just would set him right down in the chair, and he wouldn't do it. The man died far younger than he should have. Alcohol, alcohol. In Proverbs 23, verse 29, "Who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babbling, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright." You ask the question, should we drink socially? Well, it says right there, don't even look at it, verse 31. Are you going to drink blindfolded? Yeah. The Bible says, don't look on wine when it's red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. In other words, when it's fermented, when it's bubbling, when it's moving, don't drink it. Now, my grandfather used to tease us about soda pop. Is that better not drink that? It's moving. Well, it's moving for a different reason. Although some people will tell you, the hunter safety instructor told our young people the other week there, he said, He says, there's a refrigerator back in the pop. He says, it'll kill you. But he says, it's legal. So some people will say, soda pop will kill you too. But it bubbles for a different reason. The Bible's talking about the fermentation. Don't even look at it. Why? Verse 32, at the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. We just prayed about the little girl down south in Missouri who was bitten by a poisonous snake. Alcohol is a bottle of poison. Verse 32 says it. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Give you cirrhosis of the liver and a lot of other problems. Destroy your mind. Verse 33, thine eyes shall behold what? Strange women, and thine heart shall utter what? Perverse things. It didn't say, verse 33, thine eyes shall behold thy beautiful wife. It says, thine eyes shall behold strange women. Women that you shouldn't be familiar with. Women that are not your wife. Could be somebody else's wife. That's what alcohol does. It destroys marriages. Alcohol doesn't help us think about God. Verse 33, it causes us to utter perverse things. Yet liquor in people, and they talk even worse. Verse 34, yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. How many of you have ever been seasick or carsick? Okay, many of you. That's what liquor does to a lot of people. They get sick to their stomach. Verse 35, they have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. What is this, a contradiction? It just said they have wounds without cause. It just said they are sick, and now it's saying I wasn't sick, and they, I didn't feel them beat me. Well, what's the problem? It's liquor. It numbs the mind. No, they don't remember getting sick. No, they don't remember getting in a fight. And what happens? When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. The addictive power of not just alcohol, but sin. Listen, no one is born with alcohol genes in their body. That's foolishness. What the Bible teaches is we are all born with a sin nature. That's the problem. And we all have those genes since Adam and Eve sinned. John 8:34, whosoever committeth sin is the what? The servant of sin. It's no different with alcohol or any other sinful thing. It's the addictive power of sin. That's what makes a person. You know what? Every one of those guys in the sheriff's camp, when they get thrown in there, they immediately stop drinking their liquor. They're immediately off their drugs. Things that, which they thought they couldn't stop. You know why they stopped? They were separated from that atmosphere. You go in there, there's no alcohol, there's no tobacco, there's no drugs. So, alcohol, the terrible addictive power of sin. It's the same thing with tobacco. We could go along the same things. In John 10:10, the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. What is fun about smoking? I just read recently they have a new machine now that's supposed to help people quit smoking. And it says they can even blow smoke rings with it. It's water vapor. Why not just get them something I used when I was a child. It's a little bottle, and you dip a thing in it. It has a stick and a circle on the end. And you go, bubbles. That, you can just use a little dish soap for that. That's cheaper yet. Why buy a machine that blows smoke vapor rings? Why not just get them a bottle of bubbles? If they're nervous, got to have my cigarette. Just give them the little bottle of bubbles. And now, isn't that calming? The bubbles. And you can even try to pop them. You can chase them, you know? That'd be more productive. Well, when I was preparing this message, I needed to know how much cigarettes were, but you know, I didn't want the caller ID, you know, to come up and show our name. I think I was really inquiring about cigarettes, but I decided I've got to know. So I said to the lady, I called a discount tobacco place, and I just said, I'm doing some research on the cost of tobacco products. And so I would just like to know what the average price of a name brand pack of cigarettes is. And she says, like Marlboro? And I says, that's fine. And she says, $5.94 a pack. $5.90. I was just going to tell you it was more than a gallon of gas. The last time I had noticed, which some time ago, it was when gas was $4 and something. It came to my mind, I wonder how much cigarettes are, because they're always more than gas, a gallon of gas. And they were, it was four something. But now, she told me $5.94, and that's at a discount store. $5.94. I don't know about nowadays, but years ago, it was not uncommon for a person to be a two-pack-a-day smoker. Well, you start adding that out. That's $11.88 a day, $83.16 a week, $360.36 a month, $4,323.32 a year. Boy, can you think of anything better to do with $4,000 than blow it all away in smoke? Boy, I could. Over $4,000. So I told the guy at the jail, do you think it's fun to smoke, or do you think it's a thief, a robber? Jesus said, I am the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I remember when I was in junior high that the young guys was trying to get me to try smoking. In junior high, it said in here, right now, Americans, it's almost 20% of Americans smoke. But do you know the same statistics listed in high school, over 25% of high schoolers smoke. And with junior high, I didn't write it down. I think it was maybe like 8% of junior highers regularly smoke. Unbelievable. But as I began to do more study, it said cigarette smoking remains the leading preventable cause of death in the United States. And it said smoking, smokers, this is not the indirect smoke, you know, secondhand smoke. These are smokers. It said an estimated 438,000 deaths a year in the United States. That's almost 500,000 people die every year in America because of cigarette smoking. You divide that down, that's 8,423 Americans a month die from cigarette smoking and related illnesses. That's 2,105 Americans a week. Do you remember what we said? Alcohol kills over 500 a week in America. Add cigarette smoking to that. Cigarette smoking is 2,105 a week. This is Americans, not worldwide, it's just Americans. That means 300 Americans die every day from tobacco-related, and they listed them all, lung cancers, all kinds of cancers attributed to smoking. Jesus said, the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I remember when I was a boy, kids would say to me, oh, you Christians can't do anything. You can't drink. You can't smoke. You can't go to the dance. My dad wouldn't let us go to dances. You can't go to the movies. My dad wouldn't let us go to the movies because of what they showed there. And they're trying to put this on me. Oh, you can't have any fun because you're a Christian. I look at John 10:10. They've been deceived by thieves, robbers, destroyers, murderers, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. Tobacco stains destroy. They destroy cars. When we were looking for a vehicle, there was this really nice Blazer we was looking at. And then we looked at others, like vans. And it was a good price. Mileage was good. But open the door and tobacco. And one of the dealers told us, he says, that car wouldn't be on my lot except for there was a smoker that owned it, and I just can't sell it. People don't want it. And I talked to professional cleaners, and none of them would guarantee they could get that smell out. It destroys cars. It destroys homes. We've talked to realtors about homes where they smoke in them. And the realtors, the honest realtors, will admit it's pretty tough to get that smell out of a house. Pretty tough. It destroys furniture. Cigarette burns. It destroys carpet. Cigarette burns. Not only the smell, but the cigarette burns everywhere. It destroys countertops and bathrooms from their cigarette ashes burning a hole in the laminate or staining it from the burn. Puts a burn into it. So whole houses are destroyed because of cigarettes catching on fire, the house. People fall asleep smoking, catch the house on fire. Lives are lost. Why would anyone say, I won't become a Christian? Because if I become a Christian, I shouldn't drink or smoke. So I don't want to become a Christian. That will take away my fun. Fun? They're insane. They're insane. Jesus said, verse 10 here, the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have what? Life, and that they might have it what? More abundantly. Listen, don't be deceived. Young people, sooner or later the world's going to offer you these things. Liquor, tobacco. Don't be deceived. I hope you'll never forget what I told you this morning. And this verse, what Jesus said, and to destroy. Liquor and tobacco both are thieves. They're killers. They're destroyers. I know a Christian couple that got married. They did not have liquor at their reception. They did not dance and carouse. But you know what? They got on an airplane to fly to their honeymoon destination. And you know what happened on that airplane? Some little devil called a stewardess, offered them champagne because they were married. And you know what they did? They drank it. They drank it. Thieves. Down the road, that marriage ended. It ended. Don't ever start out taking that first sip. That first puff, don't ever start. They're both thieves, killers, and destroyers. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's the Lord Jesus that gives life, the abundant life, the joyful life, the life with a real purpose. And Lord, we understand that liquor and tobacco, they're both thieves. They rob people of money, of happiness, of life. They're destroyers. They destroy lives. They destroy homes. They're murderers. They both kill 2,500 people a week, 1,500 people a week. Lord, you know the actual number. Oh, if it was something else killing that many of our people, our nation would rise up. But our nation is so steeped in sin. And even in the churches today, Lord, have mercy on us. If the churches can't even decide if it's been to us, Lord, help us never to forsake the message of repentance and faith. Repentance, turning from our sin. Lord, we know we can't clean up our own lives, but we know you can. and that we must have the desire for you to cleanse us. Father, I pray you'd help us get back to preaching the word. Have your way in each of our hearts. I pray, Lord, if there are any here this morning who have never been saved, that they would come in just a few moments and say, I want to be saved. I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved. And Lord, help us as Christians to serve you, not to be enticed by these ungodly things. Help us to faithfully serve you and not to be ashamed of it. Lord, why should we get red in the face because we don't drink or smoke? Why should we apologize? It should be those people who are ashamed of their sinful lives. Lord, please work in our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.